Amen. Amen. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be, well, do you know what happens in 6 weeks' time?
Pentecost.
Right. So we really felt it would be good for us to be thinking about who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do. So we have 6 weeks of trying to get to grips with who the Holy Spirit is and understanding, experiencing all that he is and has for us. Now, I suspect that as Christians, and certainly evangelical, slightly charismatic Baptist Christians.
You mean slightly?
Let's call it as it is. Most of us will be comfortable reciting the Apostolic Creed, if you know what it is. Well, basically, it says... it says, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, we believe in the Holy Spirit. Most of us agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're a member here of this church, well then you have kind of signed on the dotted line to say that's what you believe as well. So, there we go. So, understanding God as Father, I think we probably don't have much difficulty understanding God as Father. We can understand the concept of a Father who looks after us, who loves us. Yeah. Even if that's not our personal earthly experience, we can understand that God is the perfect Father. And that's what fatherhood is modelled on. You know, most of our fathers won't actually reach that standard, however good they are. But God as Father, we can understand that. Jesus as God's Son. Jesus, God, come to dwell with us, Emmanuel. Again, that's something we can understand. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, who do we think the Holy Spirit is? Well, I think many of us think he's a force that we can tap into. Do you know what yesterday was? It was Star Wars Day.
I wonder who said that.
May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. Star Wars Day. And a lot of people think of the Holy Spirit as the force. You know, the force that enables you to do things and whatever. But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. That's theological way of saying he's God. So God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons. Not two persons and a nebulous force. Three persons. And I think Jesus would say to us, just as he did to those two disciples on the Emmaus Road in Luke 24, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I'm really hoping and expecting that over these next 6 weeks, we're going to lose that. We're not going to be foolish, we're going to be excited. Did you know the Holy Spirit is present throughout the whole of the Bible? Right from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation. In Genesis 1 verse 2, it says, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, when Keith and I were at Bible College, I can remember a time we went to an Old Testament seminar where we were looking at creation. And there was, I suppose, about 8 of us, and a scary lecturer. And he got one of the German students to read this passage for us, and we were really impressed with his immaculate English until we got to the phrase, and the Spirit of God was hoovering over the waters.
Hoovering.
You can just imagine, we just collapsed in the giggles. But years later, when Keith and I, one of the first times that we met with Frank and Rachel in their lounge to pray, we were sat there praying, and then we became aware of this rumbling up above, and it was their son Joe vacuuming. So it reminded us of the Holy Spirit hoovering. And it was such a lovely picture that the Holy Spirit is with us. So I'm so pleased Joe knows that home to vacuum. So we have God's Spirit hovering over the waters at the beginning of creation. And in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter, it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And you can just imagine, you can just sense the longing of the Spirit for Christ to return in all his glory. It is evident that the Spirit is active throughout the whole of the Bible, but how he interacts with people is different in the Old Testament to the New Testament. And in some ways, I think a lot of us have an Old Testament relationship with the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, let's have a look at the activity of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells upon certain people at certain times. The presence of the Spirit was rare and limited. Moses, you've all heard of Moses. Moses receives the Holy Spirit from God and has a helper in his mission to lead the people of God out of Egypt. And when Moses felt that this was too difficult for him, God let the Spirit also come upon 70 other men with power to be leaders. And you can read that in Numbers chapter 11. Later on in Deuteronomy 34, shortly before Moses' death, he puts his hands on a younger man. When Moses prays for Joshua, he's probably in his early 60s, but he was younger. And he too received the Spirit. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, it says that Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the Spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And moving on, we see the Holy Spirit is associated with the kings of Israel, with Saul and David. When Saul in 1 Samuel 10 is anointed king of Israel, the Spirit of God falls on him and changed his heart and mind. And later, he prophesies when he meets other prophets. Paul too, Saul too, prophesies. And we see that the Spirit comes upon certain people at certain times. And that's why King David prays like he does in Psalm 51. If you know much about the history of David, he wasn't, although he was a man after God's own heart, he did some pretty despicable things. He committed adultery and slept with Bathsheba, somebody else's wife. And then to make matters worse, he tried to cover it up and got him killed. That's her husband, got him killed. And when the prophet Nathan comes to confront him, David repents and he prays the words of Psalm 55. He asks God to let him keep the Holy Spirit he received when he was anointed king. So verse 10, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then in Judges, we read about Samson and his incredible strength. That was a supernatural strength given to him by the Holy Spirit. He needed that strength to fulfill his mission. And in 1 Kings 18, you read about how the old prophet Elijah is filled with the Spirit. And he got the ability to run in front of King Ahab's chariot. 2 Kings 2, the companions of Elisha understand that the Spirit of God was now upon Elisha. Since he divided the waters with his cloak, the Spirit that dwelled on Elijah was now upon Elisha. So the Holy Spirit is often associated with prophets and a few kings in the Old Testament. But there are some other people as well. People under the leadership of Moses building the tabernacle, that was God's special tent. The craftsmen working on the tent received the Holy Spirit to make them especially good in their craftsmanship. Exodus 31, we hear about Bezalel and Aholiab. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I've appointed Aholiab, son of whoever he was, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I've given him ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I've commanded you. So the Spirit was given to particular craftsmen to do their work and everything that God had asked of them. But, you know, even though the Holy Spirit was present in kings and prophets and craftsmen, in the Old Testament, he is mostly a promise. A promise that God gives that in the future his Spirit will be poured out on all people. The most famous text about this is in Joel 2, where he says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Now that was spoken some 800 years before that first Pentecost, when we saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God's presence, his tangible presence with his people. In the Old Testament, it was limited to particular people for particular times, particular purposes. And I think that's what I mean by when I think a lot of us have an Old Testament understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. We think it's for particular people to do particular things at particular times. But if you read your scriptures, if you read the Bible, if you understand what the prophet Joel is saying, it's very clear that God's intention is to pour out his Spirit on all his people for all time, not just special occasions. Now, everything changes when Jesus comes. If you were here last week and paying attention, you may remember the video talking about how Jesus announced the kingdom of God has come. And there was a bit of a diagram with if I'd been more organised, I'd have had a PowerPoint and slide to show you. The fact that the kingdom of God has come, but not completely. So when Jesus came, he came announcing that the kingdom of God has come. But we're still living in this very earthly age. It hasn't come completely. It won't come completely until he returns. That Jesus was here to inaugurate or to launch the kingdom of God here on earth. And that was fulfilling what the prophets had been saying. It's certainly what the prophets had anticipated. And if you remember, one of the first times Jesus spoke in the synagogue, he read from the prophet Isaiah. And I'm sure you're well aware of this passage. Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and everyone's eyes were on him. Then he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He lived his life by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's presence. His life wasn't just about living the perfect life so that he could be the perfect sacrifice. It was about starting the reign of God here on earth. And he was completely human. He was absolutely 100% human. And that was important because he was showing us how we could live too. He only did what he understood his Father was asking him to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God's presence. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Sometimes you kind of have this picture of taking your car to the garage and opening up the petrol cap and filling up with petrol, and then you're sort of driving around for a bit more and you have to go back and fill up again. Being filled with the Spirit is not about filling something that's empty. The Holy Spirit is a person. You really, really need to understand that. The Holy Spirit is a person. Being filled with the Spirit is about living in a close relationship with Him, so that you get to know His voice, so that you can let Him lead you, as Rachel was leading Maureen. I was so disappointed there weren't chocolate biscuits at the back. That would be so good.
You know, I might have gone that way.
But hey. So letting Him lead you. It's not about Him forcing you to do anything, forcing me to do anything. It's our decision. And as we let the Holy Spirit lead us, then we will notice things. Things will start to happen in our lives. The growth of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We will experience the presence and the power of God. Now, we have a mandate to fulfill the mission of Jesus, bringing in the kingdom of God. But hey, we also have the power and the presence that Jesus had, the Holy Spirit. In John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, because Jesus went to the Father, it meant that the Holy Spirit could then come and be with all of us. It wasn't just limited to a specific person for time and place. You know, on that first day of Pentecost, Peter preached to 3,000 people. Well, actually, it's probably more. 3,000 of them came to faith. Jesus himself never got that kind of response from one single sermon, as far as we know. What was the key to Peter's success? It wasn't that he was a better preacher than Jesus. The key was the Holy Spirit, who had now come as Jesus promised. The Holy Spirit put the words in Peter's mouth and blessed them in the hearts of his listener. That Holy Spirit is the same today. We need to wake up to who we are. Who are we? We are the church. What's the church? It's the body of Christ here on earth now. And all the things that Jesus did, he said we can do, and we will do more. But we will only do that as we recognize the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, as we allow him to lead us, as we allow him to move into places actually we've never dreamed of going. So, I'm not going to say much more this morning because we've got 6 weeks worth. But it's my desire, my passion, that each and every one of us will be growing in our confidence of our relationship, not with just God the Father, God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit, and that we will see him do amazing things in our lives and in our church, in this place.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And I think that's why God said to me back at Spring Harvest, you know, he wants a church of lions. Lions. Lions who roar, not with their own voice, but roar, knowing that power of the Holy Spirit in their life, the presence of God. Yes, anybody want to ask any questions? Fine, just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have not left us alone. You have given us your Holy Spirit, Comforter, Counselor. Father, thank you that you have such great plans for your people. Father, thank you for your love that doesn't want to leave us as we are. And Father, thank you that your love reaches out to everyone. And Father, thank you that we can be all that you've planned for us as we allow your Holy Spirit to work and have his way. Father, pray, and ask this morning that you would fill us afresh, that you'd help us to just relax and allow our eyes to be open and our hearts to be open, that we don't need to be fearful of who you are or what you want to do, because you just want the best. And Father, in the next few weeks, would you open our eyes more and help us to understand more and more of who you are. Father, I know that we'll never get to the bottom of you, but there is so much more to excite us, so much more for us to get excited and passionate about and share.
Amen.